I heard Brother Henry say several times, we're going to go back to kindergarten today. Go back to something simple, something plain. And there's a lot of times I have a meal that I've ate 30, 40 times. I don't know. Some meals I've had 100, 200 times. And I like them because I know I like that meal. I know it's good for me. I like the same thing. Make another meatloaf. I love it. It's precious to me. And in our text, we can leave you a place marked there in Numbers 21 if you're still there, but go back to John 3. It says in John 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so, in the same manner, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now we remember, we've been going through John for a little while now, who the Lord is speaking with. He's speaking to Nicodemus. This is a well-educated, this is an older man, a ruler of Israel. Remember the Sanhedrin, way up there. High, powerful man as far as man's concerned. Nicodemus said he had saw some things, and he knew some things. He come talking to our Lord, telling God Almighty in human flesh what he knew, what he saw. And Christ said, unless you're born again, you can't see. That means you can't perceive, you can't understand the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus tried to reason and jest and mock. And he said, how can a man enter his mother's womb a second time? And Christ said, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It says in verse 6 there, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's people walking all around this world in there. I'm walking in front of you right now. You're right there. We're born of the flesh. We understand that, don't we? How'd you get here? How's anybody here? They're born of the flesh. But there's some. A remnant. Not many. A few. Lord's done a work in. And they're walking around in these bodies, like everybody else is walking around in these bodies. But they've been given life by God. And they're living by His Spirit. They have a new Spirit put in them. That is the will and the doing of our Lord. He does it to whom He will, when He will, when it pleases Him. That's when that new life takes place, just as it was this physical life. By His sovereign mercy, by His perfect will, His wisdom. It says in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He said, God's sovereign in absolutely everything. Nicodemus knew that in the elements in the world and the wind. If it rained, I'm sure he knew of a God that made it rain. Lord's saying everything. Salvation, the new birth. It's just like the wind. It's at His command and His will. Then Nicodemus asked, how can these things be? I never heard nothing like this. I've been in religion my whole life. How could this be? It says in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Told you this, you didn't receive it. If I've told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. He said, Nicodemus, no man ever nor will ever ascend to these things. This understanding, this perception, this entering by their studying and their understanding and their figuring it out. The Son of Man, the Christ, who is in heaven and standing right in front of Him at the time, isn't it? Who descended. None of us descended. Do you know that? We're born. We're created here. This is where we come on the scene. He was, always was. He came down. He descended. He must reveal these things. It must come through revelation. Having Christ revealed in a sinner's heart is having Christ exalted. Having Him revealed is having Him lifted up. That's who He is. That's how we see Him as He truly is, high and lifted up. Our Lord in His perfect wisdom and His grace, in an Old Testament picture that Nicodemus ought to know really well. I've heard, Nicodemus heard 75 messages out of that. He's probably preached out of 100 times. You preached out of it? Have you heard out of it a whole bunch? He goes to him with that very familiar passage, and here's the comparison he gives. It says, as Moses lifted up, verse 14, John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For those in the desert, those bitten by those serpents, those poisonous snakes, that brazen serpent must be lifted up. You get that, Nicodemus? He understood that. They had to look at that brazen serpent on a pole, and then they didn't die of snake venom. He got that. That's an earthly thing. Understand that. The cross of Christ is a must. As much as they had to look to that brazen serpent to live, we have to look to the Son of Man. We have to look to God for salvation to live. Now He's hitting home, isn't He? If Holy God is going to save guilty sinners, He must do it in a way that's just and right. If God's judgment's not executed on the guilty, then He's not just. And equally so, if He turns an eye to sin and lets it go unpunished, He's no longer just. God cannot show mercy to sinners at the expense of His justice, of His honor, of His holiness. Christ said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Pharisees and the disciples too, they thought that Christ was going to rebuild an earthly kingdom. He's going to get back on the throne in Jerusalem. Oh, He's going to help us out now. He's going to get them Romans off of our back. They've been a headache. They're bugging us to death. He's going to get rid of our earthly enemies. That's what they saw. Because that's where they was living, wasn't it? They was walking around in the mind of the flesh. They couldn't think, see nothing else. God hadn't taught them nothing. But it's an eternal heavenly kingdom He's speaking of. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords right now in the hearts of the king. Yes, absolutely He is. But this is spiritual life He's speaking of. It's forever. These things are going to burn. These things are going to pass. He's speaking of that eternal life. To understand the kingdom of God, to see it, to perceive it, you must be born again. To enter that kingdom, a kingdom that you understand something about now, you must be born again. And God will not give life without His law and His justice being perfectly satisfied. So, the Son of Man must be lifted up. What's the outcome of that? What does that do? Look here in verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The only way that sinners can be saved from perishing, eternal death, and have eternal life, is through faith in Christ, looking to Him. Looking to Him exalted. Seeing Him high and lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Believing Christ means that we turn from looking to all of our flesh. We turn from putting all of our confidence in our works and looking at us and looking at others and looking at this world and looking to Him alone. Looking just to Him. Now let's see what he was referencing. We probably all remember it well, but let's read it again. Numbers 21. Numbers 21. Mankind has a problem. The majority of people throughout time and our generation and however many generations the Lord's pleased to have on this earth, they don't know it. Man has a problem. Here's the problem. Numbers 21, verse 5. And the people spake against God. They were frustrated with the route they took around Edom. We went the long way. I didn't like it. You did things not the way I would have done them. You ever went the long way? You ever got mad at God for going wrong? Somebody going the wrong way? That's who we're getting mad at. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. Now you picture what was said there. There's no bread and there's no water. As they're holding light bread, that manna from heaven, in their hand. Probably as they're eating it. We ain't got no bread. Om, yum, yum. We ain't got no water. Gonk, gonk, gonk. It was right there with them the whole time, wasn't it? Physical life was sustained by God. Where'd they get that water? Where'd they get that bread? God gave it to them. They watched it. The rock was smitten. Woke up in the morning, manna's on the ground. They physically had life because He gave it. But they can't see. They can't enter in to those things. God was sustaining them physically, but He's going to have to sustain His people spiritually. Give them life. Keep them forever. They hadn't seen it yet. Hadn't entered into it yet. Hadn't perceived it. They spoke against God. That's the first cause of our problem. That's the first cause of our problem. We sinned against God. The people who spoke against God, they spoke against Moses. And what was they speaking against? Moses was a picture of the law, wasn't he? He's the one that brought it down from the mountain. We don't like them laws. I don't like rules. Is there any laws you don't like? One, maybe. I think I can think of one or two that I don't like. I didn't like Moses' law. I didn't like the Lord's law that Moses gave. Moses was a prophet. He's a picture of God's Word. Everything he recorded. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Well, I'd have done things different. I may not agree with that. That's who they're speaking against. Since Moses was a prophet, he pictures the Word, and they loathe the law, they loathe the Word of God, and they loathe this white bread. Moses is a picture of our mediator, too. They hated God, and they hated Christ, and they hated that law that only Christ could fulfill. They couldn't stand it. They were against God. They loathed Him and His prophet. Have you ever loathed God? Ooh, that's hitting home now, isn't it? Have I? Have I ever hated God? Well, do we know what hating God means? It's not to do the law. What's that one? You got to agree with it. Has it been one day ever I hated Him? Adam said, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to know good and evil. All those at Calvary said, we ain't going to have this man raising over us. We got a king. We got Caesar. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If we're born of Adam, we've hated Him. We come to this world hating God, shaping in iniquity, come from the womb speaking lies, at war with Him. Well, I don't feel that. You can be at war and not be shooting bullets. You know that? There's some countries over in the Middle East. Go hang out there and say, hey, I'm from America. Watch what happens. You're at war. Didn't even know it. They're at war with you. We sinned against God and we broke His law. And the result of that was sin and death by sin. It says there in verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. God gave them bread from heaven. He gave them water from the rock. Both of them shows Christ. Both of them's pictures of Christ. But they said, there's no water. And we hate this white bread. That rock is Christ. That bread is Christ. And they hated it. They loathed it. Not much has changed, has it? How many in our day find fault with the God of the Bible? It's not. They get mad at me. I didn't say that. Right there, it's in black and white. Can you read? It's in English. It ain't all complicated words. I don't like that. They hate it. Loathe it. How many people profess Christ? That doctrine sounds good. That's where I'm going to meet up with. I'll stay right there. That's agreeable to me. But soon they loathe that white bread. Why do you all preach about Christ and Him crucified all the time? Why don't you preach about something about the sinner? Talk about me. Tell me something I can do. Tell me something I can serve with. How do I serve? How do I do works? Talk about themselves. And they grow just loathe at preaching a cross and Him crucified, that true bread from heaven. That's what they ask Him. They told Christ, they said, our fathers, they ate bread, manna from heaven. And He said, I'm the bread of life. Can we perceive that? Can we enter into that? Have we ever been bit by a serpent? Have you ever had that poison running through your veins? And you're getting hot and you're running a fever and your throat's swelling up? You're going to die. Have we ever needed a cure? That venom, sin, that serpent struck Adam with, and it got in every one of us. It's hereditary. Have we ever needed a cure for that venom running through our veins? Because we hated God. Not because we drank a beer or we said some bad words or we saw a movie we ought not have seen. Because we hated Him. Sinned against Him. Or were we just wounded? Did we have a limp? Did He just get a pinky finger but we got a tourniquet on it? I had a boo-boo. If we haven't been, you're not blessed. Isn't that what we looked at the other night, Sunday night? Those Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. I'm poor in spirit. There's venom in it. I need You, Lord. Blessed are they that mourn. I stuck my hand in front of that snake. It was already in me. And then I was playing with the snake. Those that are meek. Those that are hungry and thirsty. I need Your bread and I need Your water. Do we have a need? Do we have venom in us? There's no cure in ourselves, is there? We don't have a cure. There's no cure for that serpent's bite. We can't produce a cure for that condemnation we earned. Spiritual death's in us. We've inherited that and acted on it. Physical death is upon us. It's coming. Life's a vapor. Every one of us is going to die. Maybe not. And eternal death awaits us outside of Christ. We're spiritually dead, physical death coming, and eternal death waits at the doorstep. James said, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's a fact. So people say, I don't like, somebody told Marvin Stonker that one time, they said, I ain't going to die. What? I mean, a fool knows better than that. Argue with him. You know what happened 2 weeks later? The Lord killed him. God, the Bible kills people, don't it? They were convicted of sin through this trial. I've scared death of snakes. Can't stand them. It's hard for me to study. And I thought, Lord, don't teach me something with a snake this week. That was me begging. That was a trial for them. That would have been a trial for me too. Even if it was just physical. Through this trial, the Lord convicted them of sin. They went to Moses and said, intercede for us. Only Christ is the intercessor. He's the only mediator between God and men. Moses is a picture of Christ here, isn't he? They go to Him begging. God's grace and mercy are only found in the one we sinned against. God in human flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we go to. It says in verse 7, Numbers 21:7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. That's true repentance. Not I've done something bad. I've sinned against God. That's what David said, wasn't it? He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. He caused harm to Uriah. He caused harm to Bathsheba. He caused harm to his people, to that congregation that was there with him. But he sinned against the Lord, so he sinned against. Prodigal son, same thing. And he come back, he's eating them husks, blew his inheritance, living with pigs, come home, and he said, Daddy, I've sinned against the Lord, and you saw it. I did it in your sight. I've offended you. I've sinned against Him, and I've hurt your feelings. But look what they ask here in verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. Paul prayed for something like this, didn't he? He had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed three times, Lord, take this from me. Take this thorn. Take this physical infirmity I have from me. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." How was it that these people were brought? What was the means the Lord brought to bring them to look to Christ? Getting bit by deadly snakes, and a whole mess of people died. All around, loved ones, children, little bitty ones, old people, rich, poor, didn't make a difference. It was killing everybody. And it hurt. There was side effects. It's a miserable way. And the Lord used that thing right there, what we see so bad, was the fear of mine, to bring to Christ. Boy, it ain't, now if I got snake bit, I wouldn't be so mad about it, would I? I wouldn't be so upset. We're going to see His strength, just as Paul did and just as these people. Aren't you glad the Lord in His wisdom doesn't give us everything we ask for? Those snakes weren't made to go away. Some people argue that. Go out here in the hills and walk around for a day. You'll see some snakes, won't you? Snakes ain't gone off the face of the earth. They were still there. The people still got bit. It still happened. They still had some venom, probably some swelling and stuff with it too. But they didn't die. The physical need didn't go away. Just as the spiritual need doesn't. If we truly, earnestly have been brought to call on Christ, you're going to keep calling on Him. It ain't going to stop. He leaves His children in this world. He doesn't save us and you die right then. He leaves us in this world. He gives us trials, and sometimes in trials last a lifetime, from birth till death. He gives us grief until His purpose is accomplished. What's that? His child to believe on Christ and look to Him alone. God provided the cure. It says in verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Who provided the remedy? The Lord did, didn't He? Told Moses. Make a serpent, put it on a pole. The very thing that was causing the death of all those people of Israel. Make it just like it and lift it up on a pole. In eternity, before sin entered, and death by sin, God the Father chose a people to be represented by Christ. For Him to be their substitute, to be put in Him. And that every one of those He was going to call to faith in Christ. God was just, yet He shows mercy to sinners. How can that be? How can He be just and merciful? Only by sending His Son to represent His people. Putting those people in Him, and Him being our surety, our substitute, our Redeemer. He told Moses to make a serpent of brass, the exact thing that was causing all that death, and to lift it up on a pole. A serpent was made in the likeness of those fiery serpents. It wasn't a fiery serpent, but it was made in the likeness of those fiery serpents, wasn't it? The only way to save His people was that Christ must be made like unto His brethren. And He must be lifted up. It says in Hebrews 2, "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of His people." He must be made like unto His brethren. Paul told us in Romans 8, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, because of our sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us." That serpent of brass had no venom in it. Christ knew no sin. He was tempted in all points like unto we are, but without sin. No venom in Him. No guile in His mouth. God had them make a serpent like what was biting them and lifted up on a pole. Christ said He must be lifted up. God made His Son the very thing that was killing His people, you and I, in order to be just in putting away our sin, justifying us and making us the righteousness of Christ. "For He hath made Him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That's what happened. Where did He do that? Paul told us in Galatians 3. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Hangeth on a pole. Lifted up. Made us. Put on a pole. This is what Christ meant when He told Nicodemus As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, if I could preach in one sentence. He can't he? Said a whole lot to Nicodemus. I wonder what he spoke in his heart. What did he bring back into remembrance? Words he's read. Things he's heard. He spoke to him in power. By Christ being made sin for us, God executed justice on His Son instead of His people. Therefore, His justice has been honored upon everyone that Christ died for. It's been satisfied. There's no condemnation. It's done. Christ made all whom He represented the righteousness of God in Him. Law satisfied for us. Justice is settled in Christ. And God's just now to show His people mercy. He's holy. That's holy mercy that He shows His people. That's why it was a must that Christ be lifted up on that cross. Now, seeing all that work's finished, all that justification's accomplished, all that sanctification's been given, that righteousness has been given, what's left for me and you to do that we have all this justification from sin? Look and live. Look and live. That's all we do. It says in verse 9, Numbers 21, verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Any of them. You got a different program for children? Any of them. If they're babies, if they're teenagers, if they're young adults, if they're old and gray, any of them, if they look to Him, if they look to that brazen serpent lifted up on a pole, exalted, they lived. It says, any man. In our text there in John 3, it says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know what? He's saying this to Nicodemus. We'll be in John 3:16 next week. The world, Nicodemus. Nicodemus' whole life was surrounded by his heritage of who he was, and his outward righteousness. And God said, I'll save Gentiles. That may not offend us. We're Gentiles. But what I tell you, I offended Nicodemus. Hitting him hard, didn't I? Notice what God did not tell them to do. I got this from old Brother Pink. He said these seven things God did not tell them to do. First off, they were not told to produce their own cure to heal their own wounds. You bandage them up real good. You put some salves on them or something. No, look to Him. Look and live is all He told them. They were not told they would be healed by ministering or serving others. Sinners can't save ourselves. Why would we try to save somebody else? That's like you seeing somebody drown and you jump in and save them and you can't swim. We have no ability. We will serve others. We will minister to others. Not for salvation. They're told not. They were not told to fight the serpents. That'd be my go-to. Where's a shovel? Give me some snake shot or something. We can't combat our sin. We can't stop sinning. We're not told to. We're told to look to Him and live. When we look to Him and we're His, that's disgusting to us, isn't it? I despise it. I loathe that. When we love Him, we loathe ourselves. We loathe our sin. But sorting that sin out isn't looking to Him. We look to Him. Brother Pink said, fourthly, they were not told to make an offering to the serpent on the pole. There's nothing we can bring to Him. We don't bring our works. We don't bring our good doings. Nothing. We just come. We look and live, don't we? Fifth, they're told to say a prayer to Moses. Salvation ain't in the preacher. It's not in ceremony. It's not in work. It's not in walking an aisle. It's looking to Christ and casting all your care on Him. And we're not told to go to the law. The law just says we're guilty. That's our schoolmaster. That brings us to Christ. It shuts our mouth. And the end of the law is Christ for all who believe in it. And we're not told to look at our wounds. We have wounds. Some people mourn over sin so much, that's all they can talk about. not the one that saved them from it, but how sinful. Then it becomes a, where I grew up, it becomes a contest. Who did the worst? Salvation is not by our mourning sin. We will mourn sin when God gives us repentance and faith. But never look to your mourning. Look to Christ. He alone is the remedy for sin. God commanded them to look at the serpent on the pole. How absurd do you think that sounded, that command was to them? That's against our logic. Get some doctors in here. Make up some more. You got a vaccine? Is there an antivirus or something you can give us? We're supposed to rest, ice, compress, and elevate? What are we supposed to do? Cut the X and suck the poison out? I got to do something. No, just look. Just look. Trust on Him. God sends us trials in this life like He sent those snakes to physical Israel. And in every situation, in the trials that the Lord sends us, He's showing His people the only way to be saved is to look to Christ. In every trial right now, in the trial of we need to be saved from our sins, whatever it is, whatever that trial is that we have, anything, look to Christ. All those that looked lived, so they shall live. That's a promise, isn't it? Look to Him, you'll live. Those who did nothing else except look to Christ, they were given eternal life. He told us there in Isaiah 45, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Anybody, any man, whosoever, I don't know who they are, He does. Look to Him. For I am God and there is none else. There's none else. Quickly, I'm going to give you some anti-types. This serpent is a picture of our Lord, us looking to Him. But there's some ways that this serpent is not like our Lord. The serpent only physically healed. Those that got bit by snakes in their bodies on this earth, and they looked to that serpent on a pole, they lived. They didn't die of that poison. Christ heals all our diseases. Sin, death, and hell. He has victory over the grave for His people. Fully heals them. The people that looked at that serpent on a pole, they were healed physically, but eventually they died. Physically they died. They're not still alive. They're not still walking around this earth. Those that look to Christ alone will never die. Never die. That serpent was a temporary type. It was used for that time. Christ, our great physician, He is an eternal priesthood. He ever lives to intercede for His people. That's forever. They only look to the serpent once. You got bit? Look to the serpent. Go back to work. Get back to it. Mend them tents. You're all right. Drink some water. Walk it off. God's children continually look to Him. I need Thee every hour. I need You when I wake up. I need You when I'm eating lunch. I need You at dinner. When I go to bed. And I need You while I'm sleeping. And I don't even know to look to You. We continually look to Him. Continually need Him, don't we? We can read the outcome of that brazen serpent over in 2 Kings 18. We might look at that some other time. Hezekiah found it. Israel took that brazen serpent and they put it in a velvet lined box and they covered it and they worshipped it. Just a piece of brass. They might have sawed the pole up so it's short enough lengths to put in the box and they burned incense to it. You know what we do in our day? Isn't that prevalent all over in our tendencies? Make an idol out of something. We don't worship the cross, we worship to the one that hung on the cross. We worship a person. That's who we come to. That's who we bow to. We see His work, what He did on there, but it's a person we go to. That's who we're looking to. Amen. Let's pray.